Welcome back to the Stillness in the Storm audiocast series. I'm Sarah Eager, here with my co-author Jan Alco. And today we're talking about standing back and accepting. I think this is one of my favorite topics that we've covered so far because it feels so practical. But before we get into it, could you please set the scene, Jan? What are we talking about when we say standing back?
Yes, it's a great place to start. So we've all had that experience when something happens, someone says something, and suddenly we're overreacting in a way that surprises even us. We say things we regret, we overreact, we feel completely overwhelmed, and there's a good neurological reason for that.
And that is the brain doing its thing.
Exactly. As we've seen before, when strong emotions kick in, fear, anger, panic, the more primitive part of the brain takes over. It's wired for survival. And in doing that, it effectively switches off the thinking part of the brain, the cortex. So we literally cannot think clearly in that moment.
Gosh, that explains so much. That feeling of, gosh, where did that reaction even come from?
Yeah, and it's something called emotional hijacking. But the good news is, once we understand what's happening, we have real options. The key is catching it early.
So, knowing our own warning signs.
Yes, and this is really individual. For some people, it's very physical, heart rate going up or tension in the shoulders. That tight feeling in the stomach. For others, it's more of a creeping sense of unease or a thought that keeps circling round and round. Whatever your early signals are, learning to notice them gives you a window, a chance to choose how you respond.
Rather than just being swept along by it.
Yes, and that's really the heart of what this audio cast is about. The human mind has this remarkable capacity, the ability to observe itself, to step back and witness what's happening, almost like watching from a slight distance.
Oh, I love that idea. Can you say more about what stepping back looks like in practice?
So, one of the things people often do is get caught up in other people's emotions, a family member in distress. Or even someone on social media saying something that winds you up. And we react. We get pulled in. Stepping back doesn't mean you stop caring. In fact, the opposite.
Because you're calmer, so then you're more useful to them.
Yeah. When you're not caught in the same emotional wave as someone else, you can empathize more clearly and respond more helpfully. There's a real skill in being present with someone's distress without absorbing it.
I think a lot of people listening will recognize that. Especially anyone in a caring role or parenting, I certainly recommend recognize it from my own practice. Sometimes you can feel like you're drowning alongside the person you're trying to help.
And stepping back is what keeps you afloat. Now, alongside stepping back, there's another practice that works beautifully with it, naming and accepting what you're feeling.
Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, so often when uncomfortable feelings arise, our instinct is to push them away, resist them, distract ourselves from them. And that resistance uses enormous energy and often makes things worse. Fighting anxiety can feed it.
So, what's the alternative?
Naming it, simply saying, "Here come those feelings again," acknowledging what's happening without judgment. And there's a really useful phrase that can help with thoughts specifically. Instead of saying things like, "I'm a failure," you say, "I'm having the thought that I'm a failure."
Oh, that line, here come those feelings again, sounds like could be from a song, but it's a really subtle but quite profound shift, isn't it? You're creating just a little distance between you and the thought.
Yes, you're not the thought. You're the one noticing it. And when you do that, thoughts begin to lose their grip. They're just language, just images passing through. Not threats, not rules you have to obey.
I think I know what you mean. I shared a personal experience in the book about this. So I'll mention it because it's quite visual. There was a time when I was feeling really stressed and quite anxious, and I sensed this sort of growing heaviness in my chest. So I began to work with it rather than fight it. So I really paid attention to what it looked like, what was its shape and color, and what it felt like. Its weight and texture. And over time, I found a way to breathe light into it, dissolve it, and that genuinely helped.
So that's a perfect example of the body becoming a resource rather than just a source of alarm. And it connects to what we explored in our Creating Inner Safety audiocast, using that relaxed inner space to meet difficult feelings with curiosity rather than fear.
Which brings us to something you call the observing self.
Yes. When you start stepping back regularly, you begin to notice something interesting. There are the thoughts and feelings you're having, and then there's the part of you that's watching them, the I that's noticing. That's the observing self.
And that part is always there, always calm.
Yeah, it's always there, and one really practical tool is simply giving your discomfort a number, 0 being no problem at all, 10 being the worst feeling you've ever felt. It sounds simple, but it actually engages your thinking brain and pulls you back from the edge of being overwhelmed. And often you realize that your score is a 6, not a 10.
So, reality testing the feeling.
Yes, and you can do the same with thoughts. Ask yourself, what's the actual evidence for this thought? What would I say to a close friend who voiced this? That's something called putting a thought on trial. And it's remarkable how quickly a thought can lose its strength and authority when you examine it in that way.
Yeah, that sounds really practical. And there's something in here also about seeing the bigger picture, I think.
Yes, because when we're in survival mode, our thinking becomes really narrow, black and white, all or nothing. Stepping back literally widens our view. We start to see more possibilities, more shades of grey. And from that wider place, we can even mentally rehearse responding differently, imagining ourselves handling a difficult situation with more calm and confidence. As we touched on in our Being Present audiocast, this kind of inner rehearsal creates real change.
So it's not just reflecting, it's actively building new pathways.
It is, and the more we practice, the more natural it becomes.
I think what I love most about all of this is that it's genuinely hopeful. You're not trying to get rid of difficult feelings, you're learning to be with them differently.
That's it. And that shift from struggling against what we feel to observing it with a kind of quiet curiosity, that's where real freedom starts.
Beautifully put, Jan. And now seems like a perfect moment to put some of this into practice. So we're going to move into a short meditation that will guide you through the experience of stepping back and observing. So find a comfortable position, let your eyes gently close, and we'll take it from there.
I take a moment to sit down quietly. I want to make sense of it all. I want to find meaning beyond the storms of the dense fog of the words and the actions that whirl around me. I talk to myself gently. Come, let me try and step back a little and breathe slowly so that I can see things a little more clearly. I settle gradually in my own sense of calm. From this quiet place, I am able to observe that as much as I want to, I cannot control everything around me. I choose to stay inside the protective shelter that my inner calm has created. I am moving to my center of stillness, that part of me that is trusting and certain. I step inside to meet my quiet and peaceful self. From inside this safe shelter, I'm able to see more clearly. When people are at cross purposes, they are often communicating their distress. What I can do is try to discern their underlying intentions and needs. I am able to appreciate their strengths and allow myself time to be patient. I send them good wishes of hope and tranquility. My good intentions are carried like a calming breeze, filled with loving kindness that energizes and stills. In this quiet connection, we are feeling safe and secure. We have gently moved from chaos towards our inner center of stillness and peace.
You'll find more detail about the tool, Standing Back and Accepting, with ideas for practice, rescue remedies, audio recordings, and positive affirmations in our book, Stillness in the Storm, 7 Tools for Coping with Fear and Uncertainty. It's published by the Janki Foundation and available in paperback, audiobook, and ebook formats.
And in the next episode, we're going to talk about empowering myself based on discovering 4 key capacities that help us take ownership of our inner lives. We look forward to you joining us.
And before we go, I'd like to share this positive affirmation I tell myself when I need to step back and find calm. As a calm observer of my thoughts, I can transcend their limitations and see the possibilities for positive change. Goodbye.
Goodbye.